God telling you now, this part of your life, about your purpose?
Right now, I'm studying to be with the next generation and to help them grow into their faith, teaching them about God's love and God's intentionality of wisdom. He gives us his forgiveness and all that stuff this week. So being able to impact those kids a little bit, just I feel like it's what God put on my heart.
And sometimes I wonder God really made me with the purpose in my life. So for me to think I was an accident and all that, or start thinking suicidal thoughts, I'm like, no, God made me here for a reason, to be on earth, to show his love to one another, my friends.
Being suicidal, what would that tell you about their perspective on life?
What flavor?
And their perspective on God. For me to say I want to kill myself,
I can't stand watching someone say my life is not useful. That's not even close to truth.
What would you tell them, knowing that God created them, knowing that God loves them?
God wanted you to know this, that I sent my only son, my beloved son, on earth, this cruel war, to die for our sins.
Come on, bro.
And I get it. You're going through it. But you know what? I'm the biggest father and the biggest friend you will ever have. And for you to throw it all away without giving me a chance, it's like you're ignoring me already. So just give me one day to show you how much I love you. Mm-hmm. And you decide from there. But I just wanted to let you know I have my arms open for you, ready to take you in like a big hug.
Awesome. Awesome. That was good. That was good. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Happy Sunday. Can I have everybody stand up? He already knows what's going to happen. How's everybody doing? I want to welcome all the campuses and everybody watching online. God bless you. Happy Sunday. Let's lift our hands up. Take a deep breath. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, we pray for your peace today. We pray for clarity today. Lord, we lift up the people who are being negatively impacted by ICE. We know that is a very scary proposition, and we pray for the people who are innocently negatively impacted. We know that law enforcement has to do their job, but also people who are innocent need to be protected. So however you can bring peace to that situation, bring clarity and wisdom and unity. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Turn to John chapter 8. John chapter 8. I am in an apologetics class. The guy teaching me is a guy named Kevin, and he has a class that he teaches. And in this class, he would bring in an atheist so his students can question the atheist. And the students were directed, you can only ask questions. You can't accuse them of anything. You can't say anything mean. Just ask questions. And he would do this over and over again. And Kevin actually was a student of mine when I was a youth pastor 30 years ago, which just makes it kind of cool for us to hang out now. But one day he said to the atheist, I always invite you to my class. How come you never invite me to something you're doing? So he said, okay, well, I'm going to get my atheist friends together, and you come and present to us whatever you want to present to us. So he chose to present a genetics argument against evolution. Now, I'm not going to get all into the argument because we're going to do a whole series on evolution. Evolution is the theory. It's not a law. It's a theory that all life forms came through random mutation, undirected mutation, and natural selection. In other words, that we are all have come about by accident, and there's no intelligence behind your design. So his argument was against that and why that doesn't work. And we'll talk all about that when the time is right. And after he left, Some of the atheists said, you know, I need to rethink my position because it made a lot of sense what he was saying. One of the things is anytime you see information, 100% of the time it comes from an intelligent mind. Information doesn't come from anywhere but an intelligent mind. So where did the information in your DNA come from? It's not random. That's just a little piece of what he mentioned. But anyway, he talked about all this. And some of these atheists said, well, I need to change my position. And one of the atheists said, don't invite him back. And the reason was that he was smart and he was loving. I want to talk about the heart of apologetics. It is not to try to catch someone in an argument or try to out-argue someone or prove someone wrong. It is about truth and love. Ephesians 4:15 says we should speak the truth in love. Everyone say truth, say love. Every time you talk to somebody about God, you are not there to win an argument. You are there to win a friend, to win a soul. And it's going to require truth, but it's also going to require love. And those two things can coexist. In this story we're going to read today in John chapter 8, Jesus is in the temple preaching, and the Pharisees, the religious legalists, bring a woman to him that was caught in the act of adultery. And they throw her in his presence and say, the law, the Bible, Old Testament says she should be stoned. What do you say? And they think that they caught Jesus. Because if he says stone her, then everyone's going to know, well, you know, he's inciting a mob and it's because of him she got killed. But if he says let her go, he's going to be accused of denying the Old Testament. So they think they got him in a bind. Now, anytime you think you got Jesus in a bind, shut your mouth. You can't outsmart God, ever. So whenever you think, you know, you know better than God, or, you know, you're going to beat the system, you just can't. So Jesus is going to do something very interesting, but what he's going to show is that truth and love do coexist. And if you have guilt in your life and stuff you've done wrong, we've all sinned. Can I get an amen? And so you don't want to try to hide from God. You want to come to God and say, God, here's what I did, knowing that the truth is the truth, sin is sin, there's consequences to it, but there's also love on the other side. And we're going to see how God can balance those things and how you can come to God, come to the throne of God boldly, knowing that God is going to give you grace and do something in your life. So it's a perfect metaphor of that. So let me read it first, and then we're going to go through it. It says, early in the morning, he came to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say? This they said, testing him that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, wrote on the ground with his finger as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, he who is without sin among you, let him throw the first stone. Uh-oh. Everyone say, uh-oh. And again, he stooped down, wrote in the ground, and those who heard it were convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said, woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? And she said, no one, Lord. And Jesus said, neither do I condemn you. Go sin no more. First, Jesus upheld truth. We have to understand that his forgiveness in your life does not mean he doesn't uphold truth. So point number one, truth belongs to God, not to opinion. There are going to be people who have an opinion about you, and that God is never going to judge you based on what anybody else says. This is so good. It says, teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned, but what do you say? This they said, testing him, that they might have something which to accuse him. Adultery is a sin. It is. Sex before marriage is sin. If you're listening and you're not married, you're having sex with somebody, it's sin. Lying is a sin. Stealing is a sin. Not doing what God tells you to do and you know what he's telling you to do is a sin. So there's no ifs, ands, and buts about that. That is true, and the penalty of sin is death. So we're just going to pause there and say, Jesus, these guys are right. This woman was caught in the act of adultery, and the law, Old Testament, says she should be stoned. I'm not saying we should stone people, but to them, that was the law at the time. Now, my question is, where's the guy? Because she wasn't committing adultery by herself. And the Bible says that the guy and the woman should be stoned. So they had a whole agenda that was separate, and God knew their agenda. But for just me and you, if we could just pause and say, yeah, God loves me, he's forgiven me, he died on the cross, but this in my life is wrong. And the Bible says that the penalty of sin is death. Point number one, truth is truth. Number two, truth humbles the proud but lifts up the broken. Jesus stooped down in the ground and wrote in the ground with his finger as though he did not hear them. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said, he who is without sin, let him throw the first stone. And again, he stooped down and wrote in the ground. So they're coming to him, all the people he's teaching. They throw this woman in front of him and say, we got you. We got you. Are you going to commit her, condemn her to death, or are you going to let her go, which means you're disregarding Moses? And he goes, I ain't even trying to listen to you. Now, no one knows what he wrote in the ground, but some think he might have been writing their names. Raheem and Lucretia. Ben-Hamin and Ruth. No one knows what he was writing, but for some reason, they got it. Listen to what Jeremiah says. It's an interesting verse. Jeremiah says, this is God speaking through the prophet. Those who depart from me shall be written in the earth. Oh. Because they have forsaken the Lord. He didn't even have to say anything. He said, y'all are the ones who got it wrong. Your heart is wrong. Your information may be right, but your heart is wrong. Number three, truth can be manipulated, but God cannot be manipulated. We can take truth and make it spin all we want, make us look one way or the other, but at the end of the day, God is going to get you. It says, those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last, and Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in his midst. The Bible says the word of God is living and active, sharper than a two-edged sword. When you speak God's word, it speaks to you. It stays with you. It convicts you. The Holy Spirit convicts you. Holy Spirit reminds you what God said. We cannot escape the truth. I heard a story about a guy who was cheating on his wife, and he had never told her. And they were in counseling. They were having problems. They were in counseling, and he finally admitted to it, and she said, I knew it. Because women got radar. Can I get amen, ladies? Y'all got la 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 la. Y'all got radar for what your man's doing. Y'all got radar for other women. Because y'all could spot out other women that are on the prowl. Can I get amen, ladies? Mm-hmm. I remember one time, it was years ago, I was standing at the stage talking to some lady after church, and my wife was over there. And she was like this. And whenever my wife's thinking, she always puts a finger over her mouth, just like. So later on, and she's very patient, so it was like hours later, and you know, she brought it up. And she's like, yeah, who is that girl in the red top? I said, She's like, I don't like her. From over there. The woman in the counseling, when the guy admitted he was cheating, she says, I knew it. And one of the things that she could tell was the cortisol, which is a stress hormone that the brain releases when you do something wrong. God gave you a conscience so you know right and wrong. Even those who don't have the law are a law unto themselves, Romans 2:15 tells us. Your conscience bears witness. When you get so bad that your conscience is seared, where evil doesn't bother you, that's when you're really in trouble. So you can play around with God all you want, but at the end of the day, God is going to peep you out. You cannot manipulate him. So the truth is the truth. So the Pharisees, okay, they got a case. She did something she wasn't supposed to do. Here's what the Bible says. What you gonna do, Jesus? Jesus, on the other hand, expressed perfect love. Point number one. Love silences the accuser, but awakens the conscience. Look what it says in John 8, 10, 11. The woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you? Here now, the woman is standing by herself. Here's the great thing about God. We can have people talk about us all day long, but at the end of the day, the only person we need to be concerned about is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Now, if we're right by him, we'll be right by people, and he'll get us right with people. He'll say, hey, you need to go forgive that person. You need to go ask that person's forgiveness. You need to go explain this. However, at the end of the day, Jesus is not going to condemn you based on what someone else says. Because if Jesus did what those guys, those Pharisees wanted, they would have killed him. He would have killed him. But he has his own level of justice, which is great. Because I'd rather fall into the hands of God than into the hands of man. Because man will slice you up, dice you up, and then tell you they love you. So he says, where are they at? Nowhere. And he says, look, point number two, love covers shame without excusing the wrong. He's like, I'm going to cover your shame, but it doesn't mean you didn't do something wrong. It says, woman, where are those accusers of yours? He says, has no one condemned you? And she says, no, Lord. And he said, neither do I condemn you. Here's the great news about God. The Bible says in Romans 2:4, the goodness of God leads to repentance. We try to beat people into repentance. The goodness of God leads into repentance. John 3:17, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God wants to save you. If he wanted to kill you, destroy you, he would be totally have justified to do that years ago. But the reason we're still standing is because God wants to save us. He's like, look, I got rid of all your accusers. Now it's just me and you. But however, you now got to deal with me. But I have a different solution for your sin. This is a great thing. My solution for your sin is last one. Love removes condemnation. God wants to remove the condemnation, but he also wants to offer transformation. Woman, where are those accusers of yours? And she said, has anyone condemned you? She said, no, Lord, not one. Jesus said, neither do I. Everyone say, neither do I. But here's the kicker. Say, sin no more. Now, you might be thinking, well, how can she sin no more? She's a human. We're always going to sin. By a show of hands, how many of y'all have a sin in your life? Just one. A sin in your life you used to do all the time that you don't do anymore. Okay? Very good. How many of you had two things you used to do that you don't do anymore? Come on, don't do that on me. Let's raise your hand really high. Come on, church. I can keep going on and on. I bet you there are sins you forgot you used to do that you don't do anymore. I bet you there's a whole list of things that God purified from your life. Can I get an amen? So why don't you just keep going? Sometimes we convince ourselves, I'm never going to be sinless, so in order to prove that, I'm going to hold on to these sins. Because I'm not going to stop sinning anyway. And God said, no. Be ye holy, for I am holy. Pursue me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is God's authority in your life. Lord, I seek your authority and transformation in my life. That's what I'm going to do. And there's no limit to what God could do in your life. And so even though you could say, here's all the stuff in my life, by the way, if God allowed the devil to show you all your stuff, you might just die of depression. But God's saying, listen, I want you to give it all to me. There's a prayer model that I have developed called, everyone say this with me, say, Get on your knees. One more time, say, get on your knees. And say, thank you, sorry, please. Now, I want you to imagine you're praying this. This is your prayer. This is your prayer model. Get on your knees, which I would encourage you all to do every day. Get on your knees before God. It's one thing to pray like this. God, do this for me, do this for me. Your posture says a lot, not only to the outward looking in, but it says something about what's in your heart. This says a lot. This says it's not about me. You can't talk a whole lot of trash when you're on your knees. So if you get on your knees and you say, one, thank you, God, thank you for all these things in my life, and stay focused on thank you. And then say, sorry. Everyone say, sorry. This is the part we skip. Dear God, thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you, I'm so smart. Thank you that you blessed me with this wisdom. Thank you, I'm such a great this. Thank you that I made all these great decisions. Thank you that I treat all these people. Thank you, thank you. I mean, I'm so good. Thank you for giving me such a great personality. Sorry for. And then God, please give me sit and sorry. Ask God to forgive you for your attitude. Ask God to forgive you for your pride, your arrogance, your lust, your ego, your impatience, your anger, your lack of trust in him, your fear, your disobedience. You don't give, you don't serve, you don't read the Bible, you're not faithful in coming to church. I can go on and on. Can I get an amen? If you just sit in that and realize, man, I got work. You know what God's going to do? It is so cleansing when you're honest with yourself. And then when you get to the please part, remember, thank you, sorry, please. When you get to the please part, you're going to be like, you ain't going to be like, yo, please, God, I need a Benz, and I need a house, I need this, I need three women's, I need, no. You're going to say, God, whatever you want to do, I just, please just don't kill me for my sin. You put that in perspective, and you know what God says? Now I can trust you. He said, sin no more. Lord, I don't want to sin anymore. I just want to, you know, sinless, sin, space, just less. Just sin less. And you keep sinning less every day, you have no idea where you'll end up. Just look at it that way. In a minute, we're going to take communion. And we take communion, we are reminded that when Jesus died on the cross, he was paying for violation of the law, truth, but at the same time expressing his love. He was dying to say, there is a penalty for your sin. It's a very real penalty. It's called death. I'm going to suffer that for you. And then I'm going to rise from the dead and offer you lovingly an opportunity for you to be forgiven and for your sin to be nailed on my cross. So when we take communion, we are remembering and acknowledging that. But before we take this, I want to give you opportunity to say, Lord, forgive me. Because you don't want to take communion never having asked Christ to be your Savior. And so I'm going to ask all of you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for your death and resurrection. If you would like to ask Christ to be your Savior, and want to come to him with all of your sin that he may forgive you, just pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I believe Jesus died and rose from the dead. I commit my life to him. Please forgive me. Please fill me with the Spirit of God. Take over my life. As the eyes are closed and the heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just slip your hand up really high and see, so I can see you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 And all the campuses, God bless you. You can put your hands down. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I pray that we would share your truth and your love with people. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give those people a big hand. God bless y'all. After we take communion, campus pastor will tell you what to do next for all those people. Raise your hand. If you do not have communion cup, just lift your hand up and the ushers will give one to you as they walk around. In Luke chapter 22, verse 19, Jesus said, he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. If you have that little wafer and you could take it out and just break it, that's what they did to Jesus' body. They whipped it, they beat it, hit it with clubs, thorns in his head, spit on him, slapped him, punched him, hit him with rods, nailed him to the cross. And he says, when you take this, I just want you to remember I did that for you. And I want you to acknowledge and know that I did it because I love you. And I did it to pay for your sin. Because your sin deserves the cross. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. And we pray that we can live a life worthy of calling ourselves a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Be careful opening the cup. Sounds like rain. Holy Spirit, rain on us. Likewise, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Lord, we thank you that your sinless blood was shed for us. We thank you that it cleanses our sin, that you are the Lamb who was slain for the sins of the world. We take this acknowledging that we are forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Lord, I pray we would walk in truth and love, submitting to the truth, pursuing the truth, but also walking in love, especially with the people with whom we share the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.